Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, May 23rd, 2021. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week. Yesterday was my birthday. Thank you to everybody who sent me well wishes, gave me a shout out. Very much appreciated. And that said, we'll just jump into the topics and then get into it. So on this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Impact Wrestling, NXT UK, 205 Live, Ring of Honor, National Wrestling Alliance. We have the MLW draft, the round one of the opening draft with some big announcements there, so we're going to talk about that. And I have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled, I'm Thinking of Laying This Old Body Down. But before we get into all that, as always, I have my recommended shows on independentwrestling.tv. And yes, I said shows, because this week I have once again chose two shows for you to check out. They're both from the same company, they both happened on the same night. And I was supposed to be there live, and I got very, very sick, unfortunately, and was unable to attend the shows live, but I was able to watch on independentwrestling.tv, and the shows I'm talking about are Action Wrestling's Boogie Nights and To the Moon. So once again, the company is called Action Wrestling. They ran these shows out of Tyrone, Georgia on May 14th, so not this past Friday, but the Friday before, so two Fridays ago at the time of this recording, and yeah. Really, really great stuff. This is a great company run by great people, got a lot of great talent, and, you know, Action Wrestling, you know, kind of sister company, if you will, to Southern Underground Pro out of Nashville, the SCI, the Scenic City Invitational out of Chattanooga. You have other companies like, you know, Crux and TWE and all these kind of southeastern regional companies that all kind of work together to a degree. A lot of the same people kind of in, management roles and, you know, a lot of the same bookers kind of overlapping, a lot of the same talent, but it's really great how they've created kind of this hub in the Southeast. And Action Wrestling, in my opinion, is the best doing it in Georgia right now. They really are. And they have these two great shows that I'm going to tell you about. I'm not going to give you spoilers because I want you to go on IWTV and watch the shows. By the way, use code FIGHTTALK, F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K, always one word with no space, on independentwrestling.tv. or IWTV.live, helps me out a ton when y'all do that, and I very much appreciate that support. But yeah, these are the two shows to check out. So we had Boogie Nights, that was the first of the two, and these are the matches to expect. We have Bobby Flacco versus Wes Barkley, Robert Martyr versus Ashton Starr, Damian Tangra versus Brandon Williams, King Garuda versus Liam Gray, Sir Knight Merrick Donovan taking on Jack Cujo, Orion Bishop versus Alex Kane, Kevin Koo versus Logan Easton LaRue, and the Action Wrestling Championship on the line, champion Eric Royal defending against Dominic Guarini. So on this show, I'll highlight some of the talent. Bobby Flacco, he is really one of the faces of Action Wrestling and somebody who gets a consistently, really big pop from the crowd. Like, he's a local guy, and he's a guy that the fans just absolutely love at Action Wrestling, and I think he does a great job. Very charismatic dude. Very good in the ring, does something a little different than most. I really like him. And his opponent, Wes Barkley, I think he's been doing really great in the ring lately. Like, he's getting better and better. And he's a guy who I think most probably associate with Josh Bishop, who I'm going to talk about from the second Action show here in just a second. But Josh Bishop is the AIW champion. He's a guy who I talk about on the Weekender often. I really think he's one of the top prospects right now of guys that aren't signed anywhere, but have not even hit their prime yet. Like, Josh Bishop's probably still a handful of years away from his prime, and he's already as good as he is. Like, I'm very, very high on Josh Bishop, and I think Wes Barkley does a great job as his manager, and they have, they tag team as well. I know they have in the past, but lately it's been more about Josh Bishop as a singles guy, Wes Barkley hyping up Josh Bishop, but Wes himself in the ring is consistently getting better. Like, this match with Bobby Flacco, I thought was really, really well done. And the more that Barkley can continue to just develop, like, because I think the real money, to be completely honest, I think the real money with Wes Barkley is him with Josh Bishop, like, being his manager, being kind of like a mouthpiece. He cuts really good promos, and he does really good internet promos, too. Like, I see these videos that he does where, like, he's in front of a green screen and stuff, and he does a really good job, like, selling matches and really hyping up Josh. And the fact that Wes can wrestle as well as he can is only going to help even more, because it's going to help pay off storylines. He can go in there and get his butt kicked before Josh, comes in and, cleans up the mess or whatever. And also, it can lead to tag team matches. Like, I still want to see Wes wrestling, but I just feel like Josh is just going to be such a big time presence in the world of wrestling that I think Wes and him together, that's such a great package. It's kind of similar to when I talk about Impact Wrestling, and I think that Ace Austin can be like the face of the whole company. And Madman Fulton, I think, is better served like as his manager, as his heater and bodyguard, but he can also wrestle. So when need be, like right now, Ace Austin isn't in the X Division or the heavyweight title picture, so he's in the tag team title picture. And Madman Fulton can definitely go in the ring. So when in these kind of situations, the tag team thing works out great for Austin and for Fulton. And I think you have the same kind of options with Barkley and with Bishop, if all of that makes sense. But that being said, huge shout out to Wes Barkley because he's been getting consistently better in the ring, like I've said, and he's doing great, great, great promos. So huge shout out to Barkley. Robert Martyr, a guy on the show that I've been seeing a lot more of lately. I think I saw him in MLW not too long ago, Beyond Wrestling as well, I believe. Been popping up all over the place, doing really solid work. Damian Tangra and Brandon Williams, this match was really, really, really good. Tangra, I think, is going to be one of the major breakout stars of 2021. You know, he's a name that people have known for a minute, and he's been creating more and more buzz for himself lately on shows like Action Wrestling, and I believe he was at Southern Underground Pro recently as well, and I would not be surprised to see him at Scenic City Invitational. I don't know if he's been announced for that or not, but I have a feeling we could see him there too. It would make sense. Same with Brandon Williams. I feel the same about him too. Both of these guys, very, very good in the ring. Very good technically, do a little bit of everything. Young, hungry, athletic guys. Brandon Williams, Damian Tangra, those are two names that I think if you haven't become familiar with yet, you're not alone because they're starting to really create their name and create their buzz right now. But get in early. You know, I would highly recommend checking out Brandon Williams and Damian Tangra. Both of these guys, I think this time next year, we're talking about these guys as, you know, people we're seeing on all these major shows and, you know, potentially being in that conversation of like, who's going to get signed next, you know? And I think these are two guys you really want to be getting aware of right now because they're only going to keep getting better and better. And like I said, they're both going to be total breakout stars, I think, this year. Who else do we have on this show? Orion Bishop versus Alex Kane was really good. Bishop, not the same as Josh Bishop, who I'll talk about later, but Orion Bishop presents something totally different. He's a big dude who can move really well. And he's been getting a lot better, too, lately. Like, I've been seeing him pop up at more and more shows. And Alex Kane is a guy who, he checks all the boxes. Like, Alex Kane could be, I really think he could be in NXT, AEW, or maybe even, like, an MLW. MLW may be a little more realistic in, like, the short term. But I think that he's a guy, or Impact Wrestling, even. Like, I think that Alex Kane would do great. Ring of Honor, too. I mean, there's a lot of options, and he'd fit in well anywhere. He's a great technical wrestler. He has great suplexes. Like, that's his big thing, the suplex assassin. He's got the look. He got the entrance music. The way he carries himself. Like, I think that he comes across like a future star. He really does. And he has really good matches. He recently won that, I think they called it the Incarnation Battle Royal, or the Incarnation Gauntlet for SUP a couple months back, which I thought was like the greatest concept for a wrestling match ever. It was basically a gauntlet match with like, I can't remember how many contestants, like 12 or something. And it was, one-on-one, over and over, gauntlet elimination style. But every time someone got eliminated, the stipulation changed. So we could, like, match one could just be, like, a submission match. Someone loses. The next person comes in. It could be a hardcore match. Someone loses. Next match could be a last man standing match or something. And it just continues to change. And I love that concept. And Alex Kane won that match. And if I remember correctly, him and Damian Tangra, I believe, trained together and have known each other for quite a while. And I think he chose Tangra because winning the match, the Incarnation Gauntlet, you got to choose what title you want to go after in SUP, and I believe he chose the tag titles with Tangra, if I remember all this correctly. But that all being said, Alex Kane, another guy who I would really get familiar with as soon as humanly possible. Like, this guy is going to totally blow up. He was fairly active last year, but I think 2021 is when he's going to really open a lot of eyes, and I think we're going to see him getting booked all over the place. And he's a guy who I think is going to, he has the potential to really leapfrog a lot of the pack, in my opinion. Like, he really has, like I said, he just checks all the boxes. He has all the skills, and he looks believable in the ring against anybody, especially with his in-ring style. So, and like the confidence that he has, I'm really, really high on Alex Kane. I have been for a minute, but like, especially right now, I feel like he could pop up in Impact Wrestling like sometime later this year, and I think he would do great. He could pop up in Ring of Honor. Like, I would love to see, him and O'Shea Edwards in Ring of Honor. I'd love to see him and Jonathan Gresham, him and Tracy Williams, him and Rush even. I mean, like, why not? Like, I want to see Alex Kane in there wrestling everybody because he's got a great style, and man, I'm very high on Alex Kane. Kevin Kuehn, Logan Easton, LaRue. This match got moved up to this show. I believe it was supposed to be at the second half of the show, but there was like some travel issues. For those of you who don't know, Atlanta, Georgia's traffic is awful, especially from like 4 p.m. to like 7 p.m. Like, there's a gap there during the day that you just don't even want to deal with it. And a lot of people have to drive through Atlanta to get to action in Tyrone. So there was some, I think they had to do some kind of last second changes on the show. But Kuehn, LaRue was really, really good. That rhymes. Didn't realize that was going to happen. But Kuehn versus LaRue, it was good. Kevin Kuehn, one half of the tag team, balances forever with Dominic Greeny, who I'll talk about here in a second. Both guys doing great work in MLW, the current SUP Bone Storm Tag Team Champions. I believe they're still the Black Label Pro Tag Team Champions as well. I could be wrong about that, but yeah, these two guys just continuing to get better and better, and Kuehn LaRue is really good. LaRue, I remember from years back, I think through SUP, and he's a guy who kind of, I feel like, kind of faded into the background for a while, and then I've seen him resurface lately. And I don't know if that was like, pandemic related or what, because I know some of these guys and girls and, non-binary, we don't discriminate here on the Weekender, but all these people that were wrestling and creating names for themselves pre-pandemic, some of them, for various reasons weren't wrestling very much over the last year, whether it was, either out of fear of like their own health or because, personal life was affected by it, or they had jobs outside of wrestling or something that they needed to focus on to support because they didn't know, what was going to happen with their wrestling careers and all that. And I don't want to speculate for LaRue. I'm just saying, like, that happened with a lot of wrestlers that were on my radar a couple years ago. Then I just didn't seem to talk about a whole lot over the last year or so. And then you're starting to see him resurface again. And LaRue is a very talented guy who, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of in 2021. And of course, I talk about Kevin Kuehn on the show pretty much every week. Y'all know how much I like him. And the main event of the show, we had Eric Royal defending the title, the Action Wrestling Championship, against Dominic Greeny, who I just mentioned, the tag team partner of Kevin Kuehn. These two guys, very talented as well. Eric Royal, of course, is the one who ended AC Mack's legendary reign with the Action Championship. AC Mack has been talking about wanting that title back, and I do want to see a rematch sometime in the near future with Eric Royal and AC Mack, or potentially AC Mack and Dominic Greeny, depending on the result of this match here. Greeny, of course, I think very, very highly of Dominic Greeny. He is a legend in my household. He is my brother's favorite wrestler. It is always fun to watch Greeny because he wrestles every time I'm watching wrestling. I mean, whether it's, I should say anything outside of like mainstream wrestling, Greeny is always on. Whether it's MLW or anything I'm watching on IWTV, sometimes Fight TV, whatever the case is, like if I'm watching independent pro wrestling, Dominic Greeny is usually on the show, and I have nothing but respect for the guy because he does his own thing. He's, carving out a little niche for himself as far as like the way that he works and his style and the Brazilian jiu-jitsu background that he brings, and he's different, and I like what he brings to the table, and he's very believable in what he does because if you know his background, you know that he's a wizard on the ground. So Eric Royal and Greeny is a good stylistic matchup. And Eric Royal, I know that Action just feels very, very highly about him. And I know a lot of people close to Action that have told me directly, like, Eric Royal is the guy. Like, he's like, they basically been building this up for a while. Like, they had to figure out somebody to win and get that belt off of AC Mack at some point because he'd had it for so long. And Eric Royal was the only guy that, like, really made sense. And they've done a great job of getting him to that point. And now it's on Eric Royal and Action Wrestling to continue that momentum because he has big shoes to fill, let's be honest. Like, AC Mack is the champion. Like, that is a very, very difficult title reign to live up to. And Eric Royal, that's the mission now. And him and Greeny, hard hitting back and forth action. So highly recommend checking out that show. Once again, that's Action Wrestling's Boogie Nights. And then right after we had To the Moon. And this was once again Action Wrestling out of Tyrone, Georgia. Use code Fight Talk on IWTV. The first match we had was Timmy Lou Retton taking on AC Mack, who I was just talking about. We had Joshua Bishop taking on Logan Creed, Brett Eisen versus Kevin Ryan, Shug D versus Cabana Man Dan, and Jaden Newman versus JD Drake. These matches were all awesome. I highly, highly recommend checking this show out. Timmy Lou versus AC Mack. I mean, Timmy's keeps getting better as well. And AC, I don't want to spoil anything about this match, but there were some really cool moves in this one. And AC Mack is really, I mean, he's really the man in Action Wrestling. He really is. I can't say enough good things about AC Mack. And I know he's ventured out, and I think he just won some other titles recently and stuff. So really happy to see where he's at because he's a guy that definitely has the talent and the mic skills. Like, he's great in the ring, but he is especially talented on the microphone. And I think he'd be a huge asset as either a wrestler or a manager or both for anyone, whether it was NXT, Impact, AEW, whatever. Like, I would really love to see AC Mack get a chance to shine on, on kind of a bigger stage. We had Joshua Bishop and Logan Creed. Josh Bishop, I already talked about. He's like the guy, like, I keep talking about is saying 5 years from now, the entire world's going to know about Josh Bishop, probably sooner than that. But Logan Creed, a lot of you may not know, a lot of you may know, but didn't know it, I should say. He is Mads Kruger in MLW. And to be completely honest, I think his work as Logan Creed is like 10 times better than what I see when he's Kruger on MLW. I know a lot of that is because of the character he's having to portray on MLW. But him as Logan Creed, he has done really, really well. And I saw that he is announced for the Scenic City Invitational Tournament, as are a lot of the people I've talked about throughout the show. But Logan Creed is an interesting entrant because I'd imagine he'll probably be the largest guy in the whole thing by quite a bit. And him and Bishop was a really damn good match. I really, really enjoyed that one. Two big dudes with a lot of talent, but neither of whom have even reached their full potential yet. I could see these two guys wrestling, for the world title in any mainstream company at some point in the future. Like, I don't think we've seen the last of, matchups between Joshua Bishop and Logan Creed on a big scale. We had Brett Eisen and Kevin Ryan. I talk about these two guys a lot on the show. Brett Eisen, he is the face of Southern Underground Pro out of Nashville. Really, really one of the top guys as far as the Southeast is concerned. And I talked about this with Cabana Man Dan, who I'll talk about here a little bit more in a second, but I did an interview with Cabana Man Dan, Castaway CMD, just a few weeks ago on the Fight Talk podcast. And when we were talking about Brett Eisen, it was like, I didn't really know how to put it into words, but I was like, it's like, if you know, you know. If you don't, it's a bummer because, like, it's like, if you know about Brett Eisen, like, you're definitely going to be a fan of the guy, at least to some degree, because, like, he's so believable. And I love that he's doing more of these video packages online that Jumpin' Johnny Mosley has been putting together. Shout out Mose. And shout out the whole KOBK crew. But, Brett is a guy who's, like, so well known in the Southeast. But I feel like once you kind of veer out of that, it's like he's still so under the radar. It's kind of bizarre. It's kind of wild. Brett has had a chance in GCW before, and I have to imagine, I mean, it would be insane to me if when GCW comes back around that area that they wouldn't have Brett on the show. I mean, you have to have Brett on the show, especially if you're in Tennessee. But Brett Eisen, I can't say enough good things about him. Talk about him every week. And Kevin Ryan, a guy who, you know, just keeps getting better and better as well. A guy that, you know, has been around for quite a while, but is really coming into his own right now. And, you know, when him and Sean Christopher split up, I didn't really know what to expect for either guy. Kevin Ryan, I figured, would find himself quickly, and he has, and he's done very, very well. And he has a lot of really cool moves that he does, very innovative guy. And he's out there going for it, you know. And him and Brett went for some stuff. It didn't always look pretty, but I respect them going for what they're going for. And with Kevin Ryan and also with Sean Christopher, I didn't really know what was going to happen with him, and he has really done great stuff by reinventing himself and becoming this more like gothic type character, but he'll also do crazy stuff in the ring and outside of the ring. Like, I saw him and Matthew Justice have a match not too long ago where Matthew Justice hit him with like a DVD off of a ladder through a table or something like that. I mean, the dude's just nuts. Both those guys are completely nuts, to be honest. But yeah, Kevin Ryan, huge shout out. He's another guy that, like, if he continues on the trajectory he's on right now, and from what I'm hearing, he has... Now, I don't know him on a personal level at all, but from what I'm hearing, it just sounds like he has the right people around him right now. I'll just say that. It sounds like he has the right people around him and that he's doing all the right things, and it's showing on TV for what he's been able to accomplish lately. We also had Shug D and Cabana Man Dan on the show. I just talked about CMD. He is the current New South... current New South... heavyweight champion, Derek Neal was a two-time champion as well, but Cabana Man Dan recently beat Derek Neal to win back the championship. But yes, Cabana Man Dan, he's the man. If you want to really know about him, listen to the Fight Talk podcast. I did an hour-long interview with him just a couple weeks ago. We talk about his career and everything, and it's a free podcast if y'all want to listen to it. So I'll leave that to be, if you want to know about CMD and a real deep dive about him. Shug D, of course, you know, the former Pineapple Pete from AEW, Sugar Dunkerton, dude's been around forever. I mean, he's been wrestling for, what, like 15 years, maybe longer. And he's actually doing the best work of his career, in my opinion, right now. He's doing great character work. His feuds have been great, especially with Cabana Man Dan. So, yeah, I can't say enough good things about Shug D. And he's a guy that, you know, it's really carried over into his character, I think, very well. The whole concept of him working so hard and then getting the shot in AEW and then just kind of being a joke. Like, Jericho basically just made him into a joke immediately. And then he's not with AEW. And then it's like, you have two choices. Just give up now. And, like, that was that you made it and then you didn't. And then that's that. Or do you use that as motivation and do you put that chip on your shoulder? And that's what Shug D's done. And I think he's honestly doing the best work of his career right now. And then you had Jaden Newman and JD Drake in the main event. Two guys that I just think the world of. JD Drake is one of the best professional wrestlers in the world right now in any company. It's awesome that we're getting to see him in AEW lately. And I just want to see more and more of him. He's a real throwback, hard hitter. I just respect the hell out of him, and yeah, I loved his tag team with Anthony Henry, who is now known as, I'll talk about him on 205 Live, Asher Hale is his name now, but yeah, I mean, JD Drake, I really can't say enough good things about him. He is so, so damn talented, and he's a guy that honestly, like, when he showed up on AEW the first time, I think a lot of people didn't really know him. That's what it kind of seemed like. I mean, he of course had a career in Evolve and was very successful there too. So he's a guy that's been on my radar for a long time and a guy that's been on, I think, a lot of people's radars for a long time. But for whatever reason, I feel like when JD Drake showed up in AEW, a lot of people were like surprised by how good he was, because he came in, he wrestled Eddie Kingston in his first match and it was awesome. They beat the hell out of each other. And then since then, I feel like every time I go on Twitter and JD is wrestling for AEW, people are like, man, this guy's incredible. It's like, yeah, I'm surprised people are surprised by that. But yeah, I'm really happy that people are finally getting to see this and realizing it. So JD Drake's like, yeah, man, like, if they built him enough in AEW, I could really see him. He had a great match with Darby Allin for the TNT title, too. Like, I could see him you know, becoming the TNT champion at some point, even becoming the heavyweight champion at some point, you know, sometime down the line with the right build, JD Drake has all the tools, and he's a throwback, and he's unique, and man, JD Drake, super bright future. I honestly think he's one of the top 10 best overall in-ring wrestlers in the world right now. And I know there's going to be people who think I'm crazy for saying that. Dylan Hale's on this show, a guy who I really respect his opinion. I believe he said that he considered JD Drake to be the best wrestler in the world right now, like, period. I don't want to misquote him, but I think he said that. I think I remember him saying that. And I agree. JD Drake is way up there. And Jaden Newman, his opponent, we talk about him all the time on The Weekender. Dude's like 21 years old, but he's been wrestling for like 6-7 years or something already. Already training other wrestlers at TWE. I can't say enough good things about him. Chattanooga kid, good guy. I can't wait to see what he does in the Scenic City Invitational. And I once again, another guy I just think the world of. And a guy who is already a young veteran and hasn't even begun to hit his prime yet, which is really scary to think about. Like, when Jaden Newman is in his mid-20s, he's going to be so insanely good, and the whole world is going to know about him. And he's going to have this whole crop of talent that he's cultivated, like, that he has trained. And, Jaden Newman is going to do so many good things for the wrestling business. He already has, but it's only going to keep getting better. So, huge shout-out to Jaden Newman. And huge shout-out to Action Wrestling, two great shows. So once again, we had Boogie Nights and To the Moon, and those are my two recommended shows to watch on independentwrestling.tv. Once again, if you want to check out independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live, if you use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK with no space, put in the promo code spot, that helps me out a ton. Moving on, we have results for Impact Wrestling. This was a really good show. And just a reminder, every Thursday, almost said Tuesday, my days are getting all screwed up because of the movement of the shows throughout the week and stuff. On Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, myself and Joel Pearl, we go live every week on the twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming page. So it's the Fightful Twitch channel. And we watch Impact Wrestling live. And every 2 weeks, we have Jeremy Lambert with us. Every week in between, every other week, we have a special third guest. And yeah, it's always a lot of fun. And we sit there and we interact with the chat and we answer questions. We talk about Impact. We talk about other companies, you know, pro wrestling, talk about life, talk about a little bit everything. And this was a really, really good show this week. So it started off with Rohit Raju defeating Jake Something. Got the win after Shira, grabbed Jake's leg from the outside. You know, Shira was on the outside for Rohit Raju. And then Shira, I think he actually even held down his leg while Jake was getting pinned for Raju to get the 1-2-3. Got no problems with this. I like both guys. I think Raju and Shira are probably best served as a tag team at the moment. And Jake Something's probably better off as a singles because, you know, he was a tag team guy with Cody Deaner for so long. It's nice to see him on his own. But I'm not really sure where they're going to go from here with this. It feels like they're going to continue this story between Raju and Something. And what makes the most sense would probably be Something bringing on a partner, you know, someone to help him. Because Raju and Shira 2-on-1, that's going to be tough to deal with, right? And after the match, they basically attack Jake Something, and then Jake spears Shira through the table in the corner. Although, if we're being honest, Jake basically put himself through the table. He kind of hit it more than Shira did. After that, we had Tennille Dashwood defeating Kiera Hogan. She got the win when basically they're like, she pins her out of nowhere. Like, Kiera Hogan's in control, they're outside the ring, they get back into the ring, and Tennille Dashwood, 1-2-3. So, kind of out of nowhere, but it makes sense. Like, I don't know exactly where they go with all this, because Hogan and Steels, of course, are the Knockouts tag champions again. So you have Dashwood, and maybe she brings in a partner as well, because, you know, after the match, I guess that's really what's most important here, is Kira Hogan is attacking Tennille Dashwood, and Kimberly comes out with Gianna Perrazzo and Susan, and they all bully and attack Tennille, and then Taylor Wilde comes out, and then Havoc comes out, and then Rosemary comes out with the rest of Decay. So, like, it looks like they're going to be setting up, you know, some sort of match to either determine more tag team title, you know, contenders, and or figuring out kind of the pecking order for the Knockouts world title, because, of course, Gianna Perrazzo being involved in this as well. It's pretty clear that they're going to do Perrazzo and Taylor Wilde. Just don't know if it's going to be at Against All Odds or if it's going to be at Slammiversary. The assumption is Slammiversary, and the assumption is at Against All Odds it'll be the winner of a match that we'll be talking about in just a few minutes here. After that, we had Petey Williams defeating VSK, got the one with the Canadian Destroyer. This was good stuff. VSK looked really good, got in a lot of good offense as well. And Petey Williams went in there and did his thing. He can still go at a really high level. I love that he used the Canadian Destroyer to get the win. That move has been so just devalued over the years, unfortunately. I said this on the Twitch stream as well, but it's a flipping pile driver. Like, that should always be the finish. If you hit that move, like, that should be the finisher of the match. You know, I know we've seen it as a setup move so many times at this point, but it's like, when you think about it, it is a flipping pile driver. Like, that should be a finisher always. And Petey Williams nailed it for the 1-2-3. Good to see. Got no problems here with Petey picking up that win. And it's good to see VSK on more often. You know, he came in and he lost to ELP in his debut. And yeah, I mean, he's going to get probably get beat quite a bit in the near future, but he's getting a lot of reps in, and he's getting practice, and he's getting exposure on Impact Wrestling. So these are all good things for VSK, who, of course, was trained by Create a Wrestler, Create a Pro, which, I mean, basically the same thing. Create a Wrestler, I guess, is really more for the video games. But Create a Pro with, you know, Pat Buck and Brian Myers. And Brian Myers, of course, a part of Impact Wrestling. After that, we had, before we talk about the next match, actually, there was a really good promo that Moose cut on Kenny Omega, because he's going to be wrestling him for the title at Against All Odds. Moose cut a great promo here. I can't do it justice, but yeah, I mean, he seems very focused, and he definitely is the right person to be wrestling for the title. I mean, I think it's unquestionable. He's been built up the most by far of anyone in Impact Wrestling, and I think him versus Kenny's going to be a really, really, really good match. Stylistically, it's going to be very interesting, and I think they're going to kill it out there. We also, you know, find out that Sami Callihan, during the promo itself, the Good Brothers, Kenny and Don Callis, come out to the entrance ramp, and they wind up coming out to the ring. Sami Callihan winds up helping Moose. The lights go out, and he's got a bat and all that stuff. So, and backstage, Sami Callihan and Moose talk to each other, and they're basically what they're implying and trying to set up here, and they even talk about it throughout these promos and stuff, is if Moose beats Omega to bring back the Impact Championship, then Sami Callihan wants the first title shot against Moose. I'm still pretty confused as to why Impact Wrestling thinks they need Sami Callihan in this position. Very similar to how I feel about Eddie Edwards as well. I just don't know. Like, I mean, you have this whole roster of just young, hungry talent that has not had a chance at the top yet. Like, I love seeing what they're doing with Moose, but you've also got guys like Ace Austin. Like, let's put it this way. Anyone listening right now, would you rather see Kenny Omega versus Sami Callihan or Kenny Omega versus Ace Austin? Would you rather see Moose versus Ace Austin or Moose versus Sami Callihan? You know what I mean? I feel like it's a pretty obvious choice. And that's why it's frustrating when you see guys like Callihan and Edwards in the positions they're in right now. All the respect in the world for what they've accomplished throughout their careers, and especially within Impact Wrestling. But there are just better options right now, and that's, I'll just leave it at that. After that, we had Rachel Elring defeating Jordynne Grace. they were basically going pinfall for pinfall towards the end of the match, reversing each other, and Elring just gets the better of Jordan, gets the 1-2-3. This was a really good match. I like both these women a lot. Everyone who listens to this show knows how much I love Jordan Grace. I think she could be the whole face of like this whole thing, female or not. You know, I think she could be like the Knockouts champion and the Knockouts tag team champion. She could also be the X Division champion. She can wrestle the men. It doesn't matter. I don't care if she wrestles for the world title. I mean, she's super, super talented. She's great at wrestling everyone of every gender, and that's very valuable, especially in a company like Impact Wrestling that does intergender wrestling. That being said, Rachel Elring, I think, is the right choice here because we haven't seen Rachel Elring versus Deonna Purrazzo. Like, this is going to be something fresh for the title. I don't think that Deonna is going to lose, but I think it's a good matchup to continue to build her resume as the champion. And I think Jordan Grace could potentially beat Deonna for that title, but, you know, Deonna beat her to win it, and then we haven't seen them wrestle each other for a minute, but every time Jordan and Deonna have wrestled, Deonna's gotten the better of her. So I think we need a little while to kind of forget that. Most people probably have, I just haven't, but like just kind of give it some time. Let Elring and Deonna do their thing. Deonna retains. Deonna versus Taylor Wilde. Like, I have a feeling Taylor Wilde might beat her. But if it's me personally, I would definitely have Deonna retain over Taylor Wilde as well. And then maybe you go back to Deonna versus Jordan. I don't know. But the good thing is the Impact Knockouts division continues to stay pretty stacked. Like, they got a lot of really good talent there. And I am looking forward to Rachel Elring versus Deonna Purrazzo, if that, of course, you know, is where this is all headed. After that, we had the main event of the show. Why should we, really quickly before, because I'm not going to talk about Swinger's Palace and all that stuff. Y'all can just watch that and make your own opinions of those segments and all that stuff. But something that I thought was really funny, there was a segment where Cardona and Myers are both in a hallway, and like Cardona's like walking down the hall, or he like walks out of like his room or something. It was like something where he was turned around, and Myers literally yelled, like, it's like, "Hey, Matt," or something like that. He's like, hey, Matt. And like he turned around, and Myers just punches him straight in the face. Like, it was actually really funny, and it wasn't meant to be, but I figured I'd bring that up. Just I really feel like they need to drop this story between the two, but they're committed to it. And the main event of the show, we had Finjuice retaining the Impact Tag Team Championships by defeating Madman Fulton and Ace Austin. The finish came when Juice Robinson hit Fulton with the Unprettier for the 1-2-3. And this was a good match. I really enjoyed this, and Madman looked really good in there. Ace, as always, looked great. You can't go wrong with an Ace Austin match. Finjuice retaining the titles, a little bit surprising because you would have figured, like, you know, Austin and Fulton, it would give them something more to do. And I just mentioned earlier, like, Austin should be in a title picture, and he isn't for the X title right now, isn't for the world title right now. Maybe he'll continue to be for the tag team titles going forward. But that said, you know, it was a little confusing to see the spot that Ace Austin is in right now, because I can't say enough good things once again. I really don't know why he isn't spotlighted more. He's spotlighted quite a bit, but I think they could be doing a lot more with him, I guess is where I'm at with that. But then after the match, and something that very, very important happens, we have Finjuice, you know, still in the ring. They're celebrating their championship retention, and Violent by Design comes out, and we have Rhino and Joe Doering along with Eric Young and Diener, and Rhino cashes in the Call Your Shot trophy, and it's going to be a tag team title match. And very quickly, Violent by Design, basically Joe Doering takes Finn and Robinson, or takes David Finley and Juice Robinson, like takes them out. And then Rhino hits a Gore, and then Joe Doering hits, it was like a choke slam, and then he pulled him up with a big lariat, like Stan Hansen style lariat, for the 1-2-3. So Violent by Design, the team of Doering and Rhino, are now the Impact Tag Team Champions, and I love it. I think it's a really good move. I think it would have made more sense for Austin and Fulton to win, and then maybe you do this, you know, a few weeks from now with Violent by Design. But that said, I'm fine with this. I'm a big fan of what Joe Doering is doing. I love seeing Rhino in the position he's in. I think he fits in great with this group. This also gives Eric Young something important to do while he's injured. And Diener, I have to imagine, will probably be Freebird rule, where maybe he can also tag with Doering and Rhino for the titles. So I like all this. And shout out to Finjuice. A good little title run for Impact Wrestling, and it lasted longer than I expected it to. I didn't ever expect them to win the titles to begin with. So I think they served their purpose pretty well within Impact Wrestling. Don't know how much more they'll be with the company going forward. Got to imagine it probably won't be too much. But Violent by Design, very interesting choice, but I like it. And, you know, huge shout out to VBD for what they're doing right now. Moving on, we have results for NXT UK. This was a good show, a really good show. NXT UK and 205 Live this week, I would actually recommend going out of your way to watch both of these. NXT UK started off with Rampage Brown defeating Wolfgang. Finish came after Rampage hit, you know, a bunch of his cool stuff, you know, hits a knee to Wolfgang's face, throws Wolfgang into the ropes, into the turnbuckle, hits a big clothesline, then hits a doctor bomb for the 1-2-3. All good stuff there. They're continuing that feud where, you know, Rampage Brown and Joe Coffey, they're going to be going at it soon, and this continues to build that, of course, with Wolfgang's association with Joe Coffey and the Coffey brothers, you know, so it's, I think that, you know, this all serves its purpose, and Rampage Brown really is a guy. Rampage Brown and Ilya Dragunov are the two guys that I feel like, if Walter wasn't there, those are the two guys, along with Tyler Bate, who I think they just consistently be like the main event title picture guys, like always. But yeah, I am interested to see Rampage Brown versus Joe Coffey soon. After that, we had Amel taking on or defeating Zaya Brookside. She got the win with, it was like this, it's like a rock bottom / spine buster. Kind of hard to explain, but that's probably the best way I can explain it. It's like a rock bottom spine buster. Looks really good. No problems here. Thought it was solid for what it was. And yeah. After that, we had Shaw Samuels and Nathan Frazier. They are setting up a match for next week that I'm really hoping Nathan Frazier wins. We had the Supernova Sessions with Noam Dar and Ilya Dragunov. And I'm not really into the Supernova Sessions thing, and there was like a stuffed dog involved and stuff like that. But the point of all this is Dragunov versus Dar coming up, which that will be a very, very good match. It's going to be 2 weeks from now. They're building up both those matches I've been talking about. We have Dragunov and Dar, as well as Coffey versus Rampage Brown. So that'll be in 2 weeks. So 2 weeks from now, NXT UK should have a really, really solid show that's been built up. And then, of course, you have Nathan Frazier next week as well, like I was just talking. So that'll be next week, and then 2 weeks from now, they're starting to stack that up too. And then the only other match we had lasted about half of the show, pretty much a half hour. We had a really, really good matchup. A-Kid losing the Heritage Cup to Tyler Bate, and the finish came in round six. So they go for six rounds, or, you know, almost six full rounds without a without, you know, any score. And basically, the closest I can describe is it's kind of like the Davey Boy Bret Hart Wembley pin, where Tyler Bate like does like a 360 on the ground to like get out of a pin attempt from A-Kid, and then he just stacks him, like he sits on his shoulders and stacks him for the 1-2-3. And after the match, A-Kid gives Tyler Bate the Heritage Cup and shakes his hand, and they're very respectful to one another. And Trent Seven is celebrating with Tyler Bate as the show ends, and I'm totally fine with that. As long as they have something for Tyler Bate to do, I'm all for it. You know, I don't care if he's the heavyweight champion, don't care if he's the Heritage Cup champion, don't care if he's the tag team champion, don't care. As long as he's involved in something that matters, that's all that matters to me. Tyler Bate is one of the most talented guys in the world, and I still think he could be a massive star for the WWE if he was on, you know, Raw or SmackDown and he was booked correctly. That's the real question though, right? How would he be booked? But if he was booked, if he was like on SmackDown and he had a program with a guy like Daniel Bryan or something like that, like it would, man, it would be good. But But that all being said, Tyler Bate wins the Heritage Cup from A Kid. So good stuff there. No complaints. A Kid, very, very, very talented. Like, he'll move on, I'm sure, to the... He'll probably move on to the title picture. I could see him and Walter at some point in the future. And Tyler Bate will carry that championship with pride, carry that cup with pride. And yeah, I'm looking forward to more really good Heritage Cup matches between Tyler Bate and his future opponents. So a really solid episode of NXT UK this week. And it continued to, you know, progress storylines, like I said, for the next few weeks of the show. After that, we have 205 Live results. And once again, very, very good show. Only two matches, like, is pretty much per the usual at this point, but two matches that I would say go out of your way to watch. These were really, really good. The first match especially, we had Ari Sterling defeating Asher Hale, so the former Alex Zane defeating the former Anthony Henry. The finish came with Sterling hitting his, what's it called, the Baja 86, I believe is what they're calling it. And that is basically... I talked about it last week, but it's basically a sidewalk slam front flip. I know it sounds very confusing, but that's what it is. I just recommend going out of your way to watch it so you know what I'm talking about. But both these guys are super, super talented. Like, Ari Sterling and Asher Hale both have incredibly bright futures. I think the 205 Live and then potentially whatever the new like Evolve-type show that they've been talking about doing... they're perfect for these type of roles. I think they would be great for Raw or SmackDown as well, or NXT on USA. I think they would excel anywhere, but you just have to be worried about this, you know, the booking, which I hate that that's the case. But talent-wise, you should have two major stars here in Sterling and Hale. I think the world of both of these guys. Sterling, I think, has a great look for the WWE. He has a bit more size than a lot of these other guys in 205 Live, but he can do all the same. I shouldn't say same. He does a lot of unique stuff, but he can do high flying. He can do technical. He can do a little bit of everything, and he's believable, like, with his size just in general. And Asher Hale, the way that he mixes his MMA style and everything, you know, I talked about him for years. I thought that he was the overall best wrestler in the Southeast for like the last probably 3-4 years or so. And I just love that he is finally in the WWE under contract. And if he can keep going out there and having matches like this against Ari Sterling, I don't care what show it's on, I'm going to watch it. And then after that, the only other match we had was Ikemen, Jiro, and August Gray defeating the Bollywood Boys. And the finish came when Jiro hits his, I think they're calling the Ikemen Slash, I think is what they called it. It's basically a running enziguri. Doesn't look very impressive, but like he hits it nice. I feel like he needs a better finishing move than that, personally. But this match was really good, and it was basically based around Gray getting beat up in the ring and working to get that hot tag to Jiro. Once Jiro finally got it, he cleaned house, hit a bunch of really cool stuff. He does this one move, it's like a top rope Frankensteiner, except he does it as like a leg scissors, like the other direction. Kind of hard to explain, but it's like a sunset flip. Not a sunset flip. I'm trying to think of the term. But yeah, it's kind of like a reverse leg scissors. But from the top rope, looks really cool. So Jiro, and he has a ton of charisma. Like, I can totally see the appeal in Jiro for sure, and I could see why he seems to be getting a big push on 205 Live. But they really have a great roster right now. Like, if you just think about some of the newer talent, like Gray, Jiro, Hale, and Sterling, don't know if they'll have Kurt Stallion or not going forward at all, but he was another one they built up really well last year. We got Tony Nese and Arya Davari still doing their thing as kind of the gatekeepers, but that can still hang and can still beat some of these guys. You've got Jake Atlas, you've got Mansoor, who's now on Raw, so I don't know how much we see him. And of course, Kushida is the champion, we just don't ever see him on the show. But that all being said, there's a lot of good talent, and I'm missing talent as well. So, and I know of talent that's with the PC right now, and I know of talent that's supposedly heading to the PC later this year, and they all kind of fit this mold. And I think that they're really, what it really seems like is they're really starting to congregate these types of really, really great in-ring talents that maybe just they don't think will translate so well on Raw or SmackDown right now.
Like, if you can get more of them on 205 Live, and if they ever wind up doing that Evolve style show I keep talking about, they are really setting themselves up really nicely for all of those scenarios with the talent that they've got right now and the talent that they're going to be bringing in. So once again, really good episode of 205 Live. Highly recommend it. Moving on, we got some quick Ring of Honor results. Show started off with a 15-man battle royal, and the concept here is the last two people in the ring are going to wrestle each other later on, and the winner of that is going to get a shot at either they'll be in the mix for the championship, for either the Pure Championship or the TV Championship. The last two in the ring are LSG and Joe Keys, so they wind up winning the match, and they'll be wrestling each other to determine once again what I just said. There was a lot of good talent in this match, though. You had Danhausen, and he also donned the Generico mask, which I thought was awesome. You had Mark Briscoe. I don't know if they were both Briscoes, but I think Mark was in there for sure. You had Mike Bennett. You had Melanis and Bruiser, and you know, continuing all the stories there. There was a lot of storyline progression within the 15-man battle royal. You had a lot, but like I said, you had a lot of really good talent in that match. I know I'm missing out on a lot of people, but yeah, a lot of talent. Yeah, O'Shea Edwards was in there. It was really good to see him. So that said, LSG and Joe Keys win the match, and they'll be wrestling each other. After that, we had the team of Shane Taylor Promotions defeating Primal Fear to retain the six-man tag team championships. So Shane Taylor Promotions retains here over Primal Fear. The finish came when Quan and Moses hit the victory lap, which is like the shatter machine, except it's into like a flatliner instead of like a code breaker. So it's like a 3D, but into a flatliner. They didn't really catch all of it. Wasn't the best. They didn't really hit it the best, if I'm being honest, in this match. But that was the finish, and Shane Taylor Promotions does retain the titles. And then the last match of the show, a match that I really enjoyed between two talents that I think are really, really, really good, and both I still think are really underrated and still somehow under the radar. But Silas Young defeats Josh Woods. The finish came when Josh Woods is going for an armbar on Silas, and Silas kind of shifts the weight into a pin, but then also gets his feet on the ropes, and the ref doesn't see it for the 1-2-3. So Silas cheats to win. I'm a huge fan of Silas Young, and I have been for years. He's a guy that I think would do great in a company like Impact, AEW, or WWE, like based on like his look and his size, and he has kind of that throwback look as well. Really big fan of his, and Josh Woods is going to be a massive star one day. Like, he's doing really well for himself in Ring of Honor right now, but I have to imagine whenever he becomes available, I don't know when that'll be, but whenever he becomes a little more available, I think there's going to be some heavy interest in him. He's very, very talented. He checks a lot of boxes. So I would love to see bigger things for Silas Young and for Josh Woods, but really good match here. And yeah, solid episode of Ring of Honor TV. Up next, we have results for the National Wrestling Alliance. Just got some quick results here to go through. Show started with Billy Corgan announcing that Latimer and Adonis can't challenge for the NWA tag team titles anymore because last week they bailed. Also, Aldis has been fined for a month of his pay, and if Strictly a Business doesn't show up next week, then Aldis and Adonis are going to be stripped of both of their championships, which is huge implications, but you have to imagine that's not going to happen. The first match we had, the Pope over Matt Cross to retain the NWA TV championship. After that, we had J.R. Kratos and Aaron Stevens defeating Marche Rocket and Fred Rosser. We had Thunder Rosa over Genocide. And then we find out that Tyrus is entering the 14-man Battle Royal, and the winner of that's going to be the number one contender for the World Championship, the NWA World Heavyweight title. And the combatants we already know are in the match are Tyrus, Rosser, Mims, Rocket, Boogie, Plunkett, and Matt Cross. So it is shaping up to be a pretty good battle royal for the most part. I am terrified of the idea of Tyrus winning that match, though. I think that would just be the worst idea. I'm hoping he doesn't win it. But, I mean, there's a lot of evidence pointing to him being a heavy favorite in that one. But there are still a lot of names to be announced. So we'll see how it winds up shaping up and who ultimately winds up winning there. And the main event of the show, number one contender match for the NWA Tag Team titles. The War Kings, the team of Jack Stain and Crimson, defeat The End, the team of Perro and Odinson. I like this match. I like both of these teams a lot. A lot of big dudes who are very talented, and I just want to see more of. You know, I know that Crimson is involved behind the scenes with the National Wrestling Alliance quite a bit at this point. Jack Stain, former champion of theirs. I mean, very accomplished guys there, and I'm looking forward to, you know, them getting a shot at the NWA Tag Team titles. And then Perro and Odinson, a team that I just want to keep seeing more of. You know, we see them on the indies occasionally. I've seen them as, you know, singles and tag team guys over the years. But a team that I think is really talented. Two guys that I'm very behind and I like a lot. So all good stuff there in the main event. I am a fan of all four of those dudes. So that's NWA this week. Moving on, this isn't results, but I do want to just mention the MLW draft. So they had round one of the draft this past week, and these are the names that we know have been drafted and will be, you know, returning to MLW. So we have Marshall Von Erich and Ross Von Erich. So great to hear there. I mean, the great tag team, one of the best tag teams that MLW has. We have Gino Medina, who's been making more and more of a name for himself lately. Very talented in-ring guy. Had that cool little, you know, mini feud with Gringo Loco this, you know, over the last couple months and stuff, and doing really good out on his own. Been seeing a little more of him on the indies lately as well. And then King Muertes, of course, the former Mil Muertes, you know, big star out of Lucha Underground, who I think he was like Judas Messiah and all that stuff in TNA. I remember him from Wrestling Society X back in the day under a different gimmick and stuff. I mean, guy who's been around forever. And there's a lot of tie-in there, too, because we also found out that El Jefe is, you know, the former Dario Cuerto, who is now known as Cesar Duran. And I love how MLW is like, they're explaining his name change is like, you know, it might be because of like legal reasons, not Lucha Underground legal reasons, but like all the things that he has done, all the crimes he's committed as Dario Cuerto, like he had to change his name to Cesar Duran. Like, I think that's a nice little touch. And they've kind of explained that. But of course, the big news here is Davey Richards has signed to Major League Wrestling, which I think is incredible. I mean, he is going to be a perfect fit there. There are so many talented wrestlers that he's going to just tear it down with. I mean, we're going to have potential matchups like, just off the top of my head, some guys like, man, you've got Jordan Oliver, you got Myron Reed, you got Calvin Tankman. You've got Hammerstone. You've, of course, got the champion, Jacob Fatu. I mean, there are so many people. You got Filthy Tom Lawler. I mean, that's an obvious one right there. And really all of Team Filthy. You got Koo Garini. You got so much good talent in MLW. You got Low-Ki, of course. You got Leo Rush. I mean, man, there are so many great, great matchups for Davey Richards. I can't wait to see him back. He's been out for years. He's getting back into it. And if you don't know about Davey Richards, I mean, this guy's a former Ring of Honor heavyweight champion, a former tag team champion, all over the place. You know, part of the American Wolves with Eddie Edwards. Just one of the best technical wrestlers in the world when he was doing it. At one point, he was probably considered the best technical wrestler in the world. Probably in, like, I'd probably say around 2010s, you know, right around there. Back when he was wrestling guys like Tyler Black, who's now known as Seth Rollins, in their feuds for the Ring of Honor title and stuff. So I'm very, very, very excited to see the return of Davey Richards, and that is huge news that he has signed with Major League Wrestling. Lastly, we have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled I'm Thinking of Laying This Old Body Down. Show starts off with a really, really well-done promo by Christopher Daniels. I will not be able to do this promo justice. I highly recommend watching it. Basically, he's getting, you know, stitched up. He's bloody. It's at, you know, after his match, and he just, there's blood all over him, right? And he cuts this great promo about, like, Dusty Rhodes, and it had to do with Dusty and the United States Championship, and how Dusty said he was thinking of laying his old body down. And Daniels realizes, like, he's older than Dusty was when Dusty cut that promo, and he's wrestled longer than Dusty has when Dusty cut that promo, and all this stuff. So Daniels is, like, really considering retirement and he's like crying on the floor, like really like talking to himself, a very heartfelt moment. And really, really, really great promo by Christopher Daniels. Really makes you get behind him and really feel for the guy and want to see him not have to retire, because you can just tell how much he loves being a part of the wrestling business. And I know obviously he'll be involved backstage, but I know there's just got to be nothing like performing in front of a crowd. So looking forward to seeing what this story is going to be going forward with Christopher Daniels. After that, we have the Young Bucks at the airport, and Nick Jackson it's actually pretty funny. He's talking about this fan who has been getting autographs from the Young Bucks at airports for like the last year straight. And Nick's just like pissed off about it, because you know this guy's just probably selling all their stuff on eBay. So he said he cut the guy off from being able to get any more autographs from them, which is pretty funny. Nick Jackson hit some trick shots throughout the show as well. I obviously can't do those justice, but those are actually pretty entertaining to watch. It's like old dude perfect almost. Let's see. We have Ryan Nemeth did a few different segments where he was doing Hollywood trivia with some different people. And it's hard for me to talk about those segments because I don't know if he's being honest. I don't think he is, obviously, but like he's asking who played certain roles. These like really minor roles on these shows that I don't watch. And he did that throughout the show. So they're really getting Nemeth over as more of this like arrogant kind of narcissist who thinks he's like, you know, big time Hollywood, basically. We had Private Party talking to Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy is talking about how they got to wrestle the Dark Order. And Hardy brings up the idea that, you know, Private Party could lose to the Dark Order, and they wind up just laughing hysterically because they feel like there's no reason they could lose to the Dark Order. We have Peter Avalon. He's got a book behind his back. He wants to go talk to Leva Bates. And before he can ask her the question he wants to ask, Alex Reynolds from the Dark Order walks up, says that his social media presence is really weak, and he thinks Leva Bates can help him out. And so they go off to lunch, and Avalon is basically just left high and dry holding that book that he wanted to talk to Leva Bates about or give to her. After that, we have highlights of the Young Bucks SCU match, and Matt and Nick are, you know, talking about, you know, the match and all that stuff. Then we had a just really, really not funny segment once again from Ryzen, Vicky Guerrero, and Nyla Rose. This week, it was Rinkowski doing confessions, just basically talking about how she said some mean things about Nyla and Vicky behind their backs. And then, of course, Nyla and Vicky are right there listening, and they give her, like, thumbs downs, and yeah, just not funny. And then after that, it's like the makeup artist for AEW. I didn't catch her name. I don't know if they said it, but she's talking about how there's only so much she can do for some of these people. Like, she does her best with the makeup, but it doesn't always even make them look great, basically is the gist of it. And Nyla and Vicky got really angry about that, and Vicky is doing like a, feel like a knife in her hand, doing like fake stabbing motions. I've already wasted enough of my life even explaining all that. Just not funny, not good once again. After that, we have a great segment with the Dark Order. They're in their lair, and they're trying to have a picnic. So basically, all the members brought different stuff. So John Silver, you know, throws these party hats on the table, and then like Colt Cabana throws some napkins on the table. He brought the napkins, and I think Reynolds had some candles. He throws them on the table. Then he gets to Five. Five puts his force that he brought on the table, and then Uno pushes Five's force off the table and puts the force he brought onto the table. And he's like, and they're all like, "Yeah, these are better force than what Five brought." So that was pretty funny. Ten brought Blow, because you know why wouldn't he? That's his thing. And Hangman Page is there, and he says, "I invited Taz," and they're like, "Why would you invite Taz?" He's like, I invited Taz, and I brought this spoon so we could eat my ass." And they all just lose it. It was really, really funny. And then they're all like pretending to eat this fake food because like they all forgot to bring food. They have all the stuff for a picnic, but no actual food. And Ten is face down in his plate, you know, snorting all the blow off the table. And Hangman is like putting his finger in it and like tasting it, and like you could tell he's like, "Wait, what is this?" Like, It was actually really, really funny, I thought. And then John Silver says that he brought a cup of honey for all of them to eat. And he's like, good thing there's no bears around. And then Bear Bronson, pops up out of nowhere and he's going for the honey. And then the Dark Order runs off. But I actually thought that that segment was really, really funny. As per the case for most recent Being the Elite episodes, a lot of the shows are big misses, but the Dark Order usually hits. And they continue to hit this week. This whole show was like pretty up and down. Like there was some really, really, really good stuff, and there was some really lame stuff, and there was some stuff in between. But this overall was an episode of Being the Elite that I say I would recommend that you go watch it, because I really do think overall it was a really good episode. The end of the show, we have the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers. They're basically talking to each other, and Carl Anderson is eating Sour Patch Kids, and he starts doing the sour face thing, and Gallows, honestly, it's not even worth talking about. Like, this part of it just was not a good way to end the show. It was really stupid. It wasn't funny. I don't think that Anderson's sour face thing is funny at all. They showed clips earlier in the show of Young Bucks wrestling SCU, and of course, they were showing, footage from the outside of the ring where Gallows just talking about wanting to scissor people and stuff. It just isn't funny. Like, I just don't know how else to say it. I'm somebody who likes juvenile jokes, by the way. It's just at this point, just not funny at all. So I thought the end of this show was a pretty big miss as well. So once again, some pretty big hits, some pretty big misses, and stuff in between. But overall, I think it was a pretty good episode of Being the Elite. So that'll do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. If you don't mind, drop a like on this, on Fightful Select here. It's got the spot here that, has the description of the podcast and all that. If you're listening up to this point, please hit the like button just so I know more of y'all are watching. I get a lot of great feedback about the show, and I'd like that to reflect in the likes on here as well, if possible. So please give me a like if you haven't already. Really, really appreciate that. And, if you want to check out some independent wrestling, check out independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live. Use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK. Everything else I got going on YouTube and all the other stuff I do, and I'm be doing more with Fightful MMA and all that good stuff. Just keep updated on my Twitter once again, FIGHTTALK_. Once again, I've been Steven Jensen. Until next week, enjoy some professional wrestling.